Very good to be here after a gap, I think, of about 15 years. I think I last preached in here on the Good Shepherd, just about that length of time ago. So it's very good to meet friends who are, they're old friends, not old, but friends who are old friends, and meet some people who I've not met before, Patricia at the door and Hazel, and that was good. A great friend of mine, when I was working with him, an American Quaker, called himself a Brahmin because he came from that part of the United States of America, where people felt that they were related to the Pilgrim Fathers. And he used to say, "The stranger coming towards you is a friend not yet met," which I think is rather nice. Let's just pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on these words, that we may take them home and that they may have meaning to us. Lord, we thank you for Paul and the gift of his life as a wordsmith. Amen. We're going to be looking at those verses, 10 verses, at the end of Romans chapter 5. I think Jill said it was page 1132. I'm really going to use two main verses from the story. Page 1132. And that first verse, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned." I found a little book on my bookshelves about 10 days ago. It's called The Pianist. I think I'd bought it in a charity shop, but never read it. And I started reading it and couldn't put it down. It was so interesting. It's by a Polish Jew called Władysław Szpilman. Aneta van Bodigen taught me how to say that. So Szpilman was living in Warsaw at the beginning of the war. He was a concert pianist. And as the war started, he was the last person to play on Polish radio, and he played Chopin's Nocturne. And he then spent almost the rest of the war living in hiding, because, as you know, thousands and thousands of Jews were caught, captured and killed in Warsaw at that time, either inside the ghetto or outside. And he lived a very difficult life. He was living for a time in buildings which had been bombed, but he had friends in the city who weren't Jewish. They made great workings of traveling from their home with small amounts of food because they themselves were hungry, and he kept going. At one stage, he thought that he'd been caught and that that was it, but a soldier of the Wehrmacht came into the place where he was hiding, and they talked together, and it was very obvious that this man was a Christian. And he said, "I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to report." It's a wonderful book. And at the end of the book, and I'm not quite sure why this should be, but there are some excerpts from a diary written by a Christian soldier with the Wehrmacht. And he said, "We know the story of the deluge from Holy Scripture. Why did the first race of men come to such a tragic end? Because they had abandoned God and must die, guilty and innocent alike." I was reading John Stott's book, Basic Christianity, when I was preparing for this talk a couple of weeks ago. And he's got a lovely chapter in it called The Consequences of Sin. Sin is a word which we hear about in church. We read it in our morning or evening prayer services. And it's very important because it's an evil thing. The consequences of sin, of course, can lead or do lead to a separation from God and a separation from each other. It's a deep-seated infection of nature. It lies at the root of our personality. It controls the ego. It is self. The Ten Commandments, which Moses received on the mountain, set out our duty to God and to others. And those Ten Commandments, I think we've still got them in the bottom left-hand corner to the left of the table. They're on the wall there. They were in all churches at one time, big and bold, the Ten Commandments. Some with our duty to God and some with our duty to each other. And you remember that Jesus made a summary of the law, taking part of a verse from Leviticus and another from Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Aren't those wonderful words? If when we look at the sin in the world at the moment, in so many places in the world, there's evil, there's corruption, there's a despoiling of our planet. Only yesterday I was reading that there's plastic now in the very furthest oceans of the world, right down in the Southern Ocean against the Antarctic, because we just threw it away. I understand that large numbers of plants and animals are getting towards extinction because of the way we treat them. So sin, starting with Adam and his disobedience and carrying on. But what about that second verse that I selected from our reading? Verse 17, for if by the trespass of one man death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? In 1988, there was a huge concert in the Wembley Stadium in London, so that people could have a better understanding of the imprisonment of Nelson Mandela. And 70,000 people turned up to that old stadium for a pop concert. And for 12 hours, it must have started very early in the morning, there were all kinds of people taking part. I'm reading them out because I don't know them really. Dire Straits, Sting, George Michael, Guns N' Roses, Natalie Cole, Joe Cocker, Simple Minds, Tracy Chapman, Bee Gees, and Salt and Pepper. Were any of you there? None of you are there. You're all too young. I think that's the problem. Towards the end, the great opera singer Jesse Norman began singing that song which we sang a few minutes ago, Amazing Grace. And she sang it, and during the first verse, everybody started to stand. And in the second verse, they all joined in. How marvelous that must have been, with 7,001 people singing Amazing Grace. No, she had no backing. So in these 10 verses, quite difficult verses in many ways, Paul contrasts Adam with Jesus Christ, our Savior. All that Adam brought into the world, Jesus overcame. Adam brought sin. Jesus Christ brought righteousness. Adam brought condemnation. Jesus brought justification. Do you believe that God accepts you because of what you do or because of what Christ did? Adam brought death, Christ brought life. So what does this mean for you and me? Well, it's surely by the Spirit of Christ that we can be transformed from those stages of Adam into the image of Christ as we keep looking towards him. But essentially, holiness is the work of the Holy Spirit. Archbishop William Temple, our Archbishop of Canterbury, during the Second World War, sadly, he was an amazing archbishop, but he died prematurely in October 1944. I think Brian will be talking fully about him in a couple of weeks' time as one of our saints. He used to illustrate this lesson of the Spirit of Christ in this way. It's no good giving me a play like Hamlet or King Lear and telling me to write a play like that. Shakespeare could. I can't. I could only do it if the genius of Shakespeare was in me, and then I would be able to write a play like Hamlet or King Lear. And he went on to say, it's no good showing me a life like the life of Jesus and telling me to live a life like that. Jesus could do it, I can't. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's through the indwelling Spirit of Jesus. I like that word, indwelling. It's in us. The Spirit is in us. If the Spirit of Jesus could come and live in me, then I could live like that. The power of sins are broken. Our sins are forgiven. And we read those wonderful words from Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, for as in Adam all die, but in Christ all will be made alive. When I was sitting down, completing my talk last week, I was just looking through the Bible and selecting some sentences, phrases, sayings, which I thought would back up what I've just been saying about the Spirit of Jesus. It's not enough to believe in God. I think if you asked people in the street, they would say, yes, we believe there is a God. I think most people probably would. If you look at the wonderful aspect of nature all around us, that's God. But we must believe the words about God which we have in the scriptures, and we must believe the words of Jesus. Let me just read some of these. Jesus says that we're to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we've also said, he's also said, we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus tells us that we are to forgive those who've wronged us. Isn't that a difficult thing for us human beings to do? But when it's done, it's good that it's done and it's over with. We're to give to God what is God's, and give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And Jesus anchored many statements by saying, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He also said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus didn't come to burden us with a bunch of rules that we can't follow. He came to teach us to love God and to love each other and to trust God with our lives. Not always easy loving each other, is it? Because we make terrible mistakes. Rather like the Scottish man who said, for me to love the world's no chore. My big problem's the man next door. And then we have that wonderful verse which we all know from John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that tremendous? Well, I do pray that you feel that we may have received some wonderful words from God in those verses and in what we've read and seen. May I just close with a short prayer? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we do pray that you will be filling our lives with your Holy Spirit, that we may depend upon him for our lives together, in our homes, in our families, with our children, in our communities, in our nation, and in our broken world. Amen.
Thank you very much, David. In response now to what David has shared, let us declare how great God's faithfulness is